heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
Probably one of the biggest unknowns through this whole episode here of the politics of our lives has got to be, how far up did it go? I hear that question a lot. I hear it from, well, hear it from a lot of conservatives, clearly, but I hear it from the left as well. How far did it go up the chain? And most people over the last couple few years defend the fact that they think it did, well, on the left now, that it did not go to Barack Obama. But the one thing you'll notice right now, it's quiet on the left when it comes to this topic. There's not a lot of talk about it. Truly, there isn't. It's almost like, they are waiting for the other shoe to drop before they say anything or try to defend the indefensible, probably. You hear the words, a silent coup. Could this have been a silent coup against the 45th president of these United States is really a big question, isn't it now? If it is, if it was, if it is to be, then this would be a real moment in time. This would be a moment in time for sure, one we probably hadn't crossed before, you know. When you start to connect the dots on all of this, people, since, in fact, the Trump campaign, when they started to recognize that Hillary might be in trouble, she was never a good candidate for the Democrat Party, remember. But once you sort of commit to that, you really can't turn back. You remember when this was happening, when Trump was building momentum, there's a point there where it becomes impossible, where you can't turn back. You have to stay with your nominee, faults and all, whatever they may be, because it's way too risky. And it becomes too close to the campaign, to the election. So you have to stay, faults and all. You have to, you know, that's kind of, well, let me just, it's built into the cake, I guess I would say. And then you sort of go with it. So I think back to the campaign itself, and I believe they absolutely knew that Hillary was in trouble. I mean, these people knew that she was as reckless as any politician could have been, more so than anything we've seen. And the casualness, I mean, forget the whole Benghazi thing and all the Secretary of State debacles and the Clinton Foundation. I'm not even talking about that stuff, people. You know, I'm talking about the way she handled, classified information, the way she handled emails and the imp attitude that one has with that. So they started to see, they knew up front that Hillary was going to be a tough road. So at that point, you have to realize now, you have the 44th president there, you know, trying to figure out how he's going to cover the tracks. So you have a lot of people, Brennan Clapper, Comey. There are a lot of folks in here, people. And that goes up and down the food chain there in Washington. You know, we talk a lot about burying the bones. And as I've said before to you, the bones, they were trying to dig up and find out where to replace those bones, I think, as this thing was happening. Can you imagine? Can you possibly imagine the night of the election, the gulp they had in their throat or in their heart or maybe in the bottom pit of their soul somewhere, what they might have thought when they seen the looks and they seen the states start to go down and they realized that it was going to be a President Trump? God, I tell you, that's you can just, I mean, all we can do is really imagine what was on their mind, what they thought, what they said to themselves, like, oh, man, am I in trouble? Or, gee, I better, you know, get my attorneys on the phone. Or, you know, because all this information was already out there. It was already buried. It was already put in there somewhere. And now they had to move it around. So, you know, this whole thing of trying to prevent Trump from ever getting into the White House, that was the first call to action, I think, as they realized he was a serious threat. I mean, they really didn't know if he'd be able to pull it off at the end of the day, if America was going to get behind him, because that's never happened before, people, where we've had a complete stranger from the political process get involved and really hijack the whole process and really take over a political party, because that's what Donald Trump did. He took over the whole party. The Republican Party I'm speaking about, it really became the MAGA party, the Make America Great party. That's what I believe happened at that point. And you know, then we have this transformation going on in our nation right now with both political parties. In fact, it's a very unique time in the country. It's a interesting time to be alive. It's a historical time to be able to be reporting on all of this. I mean, let's go down in history here, what we're living through right now. There's no doubt. I mean, you've never seen a time where we had more investigations and more gotcha moments, and you know that it's all being exposed here. And it's real time. It's happening in real time. But then you hear a lot of these reports as they come forward here, and you begin to wonder, is anyone ever going to be held accountable? Are there going to be indictments? And I hear that question a lot as well. That's probably the second famous question I hear on top of the fact, did Barack Obama know? And if he did, when did he know it? We are pretty certain, people. I guess we could define certain in a few different ways, huh? I think we can pretty well guarantee that Barack Obama knew all of this. And the question, when did he know it? I think it was his idea. I think the whole thing came from him. I mean, you don't start this stuff in the basement of your home. And you can't get all these players on board if you don't have somebody pulling the strings. So I think it's fair to say, people, that Barack Obama was the puppet master indeed of this transformation here. And of course, that is what he promised. But at that point, he fell short of time. I don't know. He would have needed a lot more years to pull this off. 8 years is not enough to probably transform this country, really. You know, think about it. It's not. So, I mean, you've got to go. I mean, you need more than 8 years to fool the American people and transform the stuff. But he gave it a hell of a try. I mean, you got to give it to him. He did put up a hell of a try. The whole hope and change thing. You know, I seen a tweet the other day from him talking about hope and change and saying, I still have hope or something. I still have hope for the American people or some rubbish about that. And you know, so I think a lot of people are asking me, will there be a price to pay for this? And I think that's really the unknown at this point, isn't it now? I mean, everybody is a bit shell-shocked with these kinds of happenings. And most people think that this probably, I think a lot of people are thinking that there's going to be no price to pay, that everybody's going to skate away. And I think there are a lot of Americans that are frustrated as hell. And they just know this political system is so corrupt. And the deep state is so far and wide, and it's massive. It's bigger than the hole down in Mexico when the asteroid hit the planet and blew the dinosaurs to hell. I mean, it's a massive problem we have here, people. Now, how does the Republic get through this is really got to be the next question. But really, that depends, people, what happens next. What happens with the rest of these investigations? Because every time there's another, you know, investigation or another report to come out, like, okay, well, Horowitz report, that's going to be the bomb that goes off that's going to criminate everybody. Every report comes out and it's sort of it's a fizzle. It fizzles away immediately. It's like, oh, okay, well, that was interesting. And it's because the players that are doing a lot of these reports, they're part of the process, keep in mind. That's why they typically try to get a special counsel, because supposedly that's somebody outside of the perimeters of the Beltway. Good luck, huh? I mean, talk about taking the whole thing down. I mean, it's a tough order. It's a tall order, people. I mean, it's a heroic. You need a superhero to do this one somehow, because the corruption is so far and wide in this nation. And they know it. And let me tell you, the left knows this as well, even though they kid themselves and they kid you and kid everybody else. And like I said, they're quiet right now. You don't hear a lot about this. You don't hear anything really about Barack Obama. But tell me this. You can't tell me for a moment that the left doesn't think that Barack Obama wasn't involved in this. There's no way the 44th president was not somehow attached to all this. I mean, does anyone really think that that's remotely possible? And if he was not attached to it, don't you think he would have said something by now? Do you notice how quiet he's been when it comes to these matters here? Probably not so quiet when it comes to criticizing number 45, but that's what happens sometimes. That normally doesn't happen. I mean, George W. kept his mouth shut still to this day. 43 didn't say anything really about 44. Of course, 43 was a menace himself. He was part of the apparatus as well. Left, right. I mean, does it really matter at that point, people, when we're talking about the corruption of the deep state? They work together in unity, both the left and the right. You know that. I mean, it's a total, they work together in unity when it comes to the whole apparatus of the deep state. And so, you know, 43, though, he did keep his mouth shut with 44, even though 44 was in the process of transforming America. I don't know. There's something about that that really rubs my ass, I have to tell you, when it comes to W. The fact that he didn't get out there. But in fact, the only time he started to get loud was when he went after Trump, actually. I don't know. There's something about that that really rubs me, people, you know. But 44 has not been so quiet when it comes to criticizing 45, clearly. And that's unusual for a former president to open up his mouth. But that has been happening. But you don't hear him saying anything about the rest of this. He's very quiet when it comes to all of this other stuff that's going on. And you're seeing everything sort of move around in Washington. I think it's safe to say at this point, people are uncomfortable. I also think it's safe to say that people know there is going to be another shoe to drop. Now, the question is, people, what happens when their shoe drops? Is there going to be accountability? Will people pay the price for this? And there's a lot of jokes on social media, a lot of people joking at the water cooler, sure, about Hillary wearing pinstripes and all of this, and or orange, or, you know, and I get all that. But truth be told, I think a lot of Americans have turned this channel off and they've moved on. I mean, they have a life to live and they're just not willing to play all of this corruption game with the political leaders. But yet they got the power, people. Well, today we're going to take on this Barack Obama as the puppet master. How did we get here? You know, how did we get here? What's his involvement? What happens next?
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue, Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
Yeah, so there was an article that went up on the platform Spygate, Enter the Puppet Master, Barack Obama. And it's a hell of a read. It's definitely one you want to get to read here. Now, the truth of this is, the gentleman who wrote this actually had been working on this for some time. And I think he wanted to release this some time ago, but was, you know, like with everything, people, everything is timing in life now, isn't it? And I think he was a little careful to release it too early. But it, again, when is the right time to release this sort of information, which is quite incriminating? And I mean, it definitely can tar one. But the story is really a great read in the sense that there's a lot of truth in there. It's all truth. And I think that's where we want to start now. Let me bring on here. Colonel Jim Warshak is with me here to talk about this. Jim is retired from United States Air Force. He's a career senior intelligence and special missions officer. Jim served as deputy director for intelligence for U.S. Central Command, worked on the White House National Security Council. He's involved heavily now in the political world. He's a chairman for the GOP in Hillsborough County, Florida. He keeps his finger on the pulse of what's going on and all of these happenings here. this silent coup, this puppet master. And I think, Jim, you know, I think a lot of people have, they've started to turn the channel off. I mean, they just, you know, when I was reporting on Viewpoint and reporting on my other program there, and we would talk about, we can't wait for Horowitz's report. Man, that's going to be so damn incriminating. They're all going to go down. And you and I actually said that on a program far before that report was ever released. And again, that report came out and it was a fizzle. Now we're waiting for another report. We're waiting for the Pfizer report. We're waiting for Durham. We're waiting, and we're still in Horowitz. Do you have any confidence in Horowitz? I mean, I'm not sure you have any confidence left in him. Do you, Jim, or do you think he can do the job?
Horowitz being an inspector general, and within the federal government, all major agencies and departments have inspector generals, and their job is to ensure the people within those organizations are doing their job and are not getting involved in things that are violations of the Constitution and violations of those agencies' directives. And their job is to keep the number one guy in each of those organizations, in this case the Attorney General, you know, out of trouble, and to alert him or her when something is running afoul within their organization. And that's the sole responsibility of the Attorney General. He doesn't have any authority to indict or charge or do anything. All he can do is investigate. And certainly the most important thing that this president, Donald Trump, had to deal with was the two big areas of his presidency. He had a big problem in his Department of Justice and in his intelligence community. And that's where the biggest problems were. That's where the abuses were happening. And you have to remember now, Horowitz was appointed by the Obama administration. He got the nod. And so he was there to serve in that capacity. Where his loyalties are, we don't know yet. I suspect, obviously, most people, if you're appointed by a particular political entity or party, in this case, a Democratic president, you're going to have some loyalties there. Otherwise, they wouldn't even consider you. If he was a far-right, conservative, thinking, acting kind of person, he would have never been given the nod by the Obama administration. So you have to look at it from that standpoint. That said, and I'm trying to be as fair and open-minded on this whole thing, and even though I am very conservative, and I will, and most people know who have heard me before in my writings, I'm very pro Donald Trump, not Donald Trump the man as we've known him before, but because of the way he thinks and because of he loves this country, and I sincerely believe he wants to fix the problems that the previous administrations, and I say that whether that's caused the road they took us down, and certainly you were very eloquent in that in your introduction. So he's here to fix things. Of course, he doesn't have the power, and the last thing I want him to be is no different than Barack Obama, or, you know, I don't want him to get to be looked at as a dictatorial kind of person. He has to stand back as well. This is the difference between him and Obama. I believe Obama knew everything was going on and allowed it to happen, and maybe pulled some strings, so to speak. And that was kind of alluded to in some of the investigations with Peter Strzok, where he said, and not the exact words, but he said, the president wants to know this stuff, which tells me everybody at the most senior levels, and we've touched on it before, whether it's the attorney general at the time or the FBI director or one of the senior people in the intelligence community, they all knew we got to keep the big guy abreast of what's going on. Right there, that automatically indicts him if he knew any knowledge of any wrongdoing. What we have to avoid, and what Trump has to avoid, is he may want one of these characters to be indicted, arrested, charged, what have you, thrown in jail as much as any of us, but he cannot dare show that, certainly not publicly, but not privately either. He can't go to the attorney general who has that authority and say, I want you to indict this person or this person needs to be charged with something. He can't do that. And he can never have that stain on him, because the second that happens, he's done. He's a Castro, he's a Mao, he's a Stalin, because he's not allowing the judicial system to work. He's influencing, he's putting his finger on the scale, and that can't happen. So he's got to sit back. What he can do is pick the right people who understand the judicial practices and the law, and who's going to support the Constitution and the laws that are in play to let that happen. So that's where we are now. With back to Horowitz, okay, we heard his first part, and I've said this before, Comey was already removed. He was charged for recklessness in how he ran the FBI. His indictment came with Donald Trump's firing of him. That is the worst thing that can happen to a senior federal employee, is to be fired from his job, and he was fired for that. All of those charges were not felony offenses. So under the Justice Department, he couldn't be charged with anything there. However, we haven't seen the second portion of the IG report, the Horowitz report, and that talks about FISA. Everything
when does that come out, Jim? When does that second report?
We are waiting. I couldn't give you a date. You know, we thought maybe at the end of the summer. You know, then wait till everybody gets back into D.C. after the Labor Day weekend. I have to say it'll probably come out in October. That would be the most timely period for it to come out, because it's going to take a good year almost just to go through that. And when we find out what it says, who was manipulating FISA, that's using the U.S. intelligence capabilities to actually spy on Americans, which I talked about pretty lengthily in the article. Mm-hmm. The 40,000 or so Americans who were spied on by their own government. I mean, that's East German Cold War Stasi and KGB kind of stuff, yeah, that happened. And and we know it happened. The documentation is there. The evidence is there. The computer files are there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me ask you something.
That will reveal all that. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
You do a great job of pointing that out, what you just said. I just want folks to know that's a big aha moment in that article you mentioned, where you get into that and talk about that. And that's pivotal to this conversation we're having right now. This second part of the report coming from Horowitz, you just spelled out a very good example of why Horowitz really is questionable. And you're right. You're so right to point that out, that he was appointed by Barack Obama. I mean, a far left radical politician, you know, number 44. So, and they scour these guys' backgrounds big time. It's someone as important as an IG. I mean, that's somebody that's going to be their background. I mean, there's no stone left unturned, right, Jim? I mean, when they put someone like that in there.
Be an IG in the Justice Department, the State Department, the Department of Defense, and within the intelligence community. Those are probably the three biggest inspector general jobs, because your job is to certainly protect the cabinet official who runs those.
That's right.
But you're also there, everything, you know, the buck stops with the president in a way it's supposed to. We remember that with Truman, because it's going to lead up to the president, because I guarantee you, if this was reversed and all this happened under a Donald Trump, every one of these people would already be charged and in jail. Maybe not justly, but they would be, you know, and just watch the Democratic Party, and I have to call them out on it, the Democrats in Congress, the Nadlers, the Adam Schiffs, all of them, look how they are behaving and what they're doing. They've turned the U.S. Congress into their own investigative arm, mm-hmm, to go after the president. And they've said that, you know, this is all this was a precursor for impeaching the guy before he got it. He even got in office. The second he was elected, they automatically looked at it as, okay, we're going to have to impeach him then.
All right. And on your point of impeachment, you see what's happened in the last many days here. The House Judiciary Committee approved the guidelines for the Trump impeachment probe. And as they say, as they come out and said, this was the most, this was the most aggressive, I guess, the most significant step for sure that they've taken in this move to impeach the president. You know, it makes me think a moment here, Jim. I want to talk to you a minute. You bring up the point of impeachment. And obviously, they're hell-bent on impeaching the president to get 45 out of office. Let's talk a moment on, I mean, beyond the obvious, how do we relate that to what we're talking about? And what I'm wondering specifically is this. Let's think about it in this terms. You mentioned Nadler. We talk about Schiff. Talk about all the congressional Democrats, really, Pelosi. Let's talk about the psychology of these people a moment. You know, I often think when they put their head on their pillow at night, do we understand, do you believe they have to know what happened here? I mean, these people are not unintelligent, Jim. They got to know that 44 was a puppet master. They have to know that all these roads lead somewhere. They got to know this, Jim. You can't not believe they don't know this. So then are they, I mean, this is important. Are they then just, because I think a lot of Americans struggle with what I'm talking about right now. So do they put their, are they putting their party first? Answer that question specifically, Jim. Do you believe, because I believe they are they putting their party first over the nation? Because these people have to know that you can't tell me they don't know where the roads have led. And is that, and then the next thing is that why they're so hell-bent on getting Trump out of there now? Because that's a hell of a distraction, Jim. If you can create all of those distractions, you can then, you know, you can keep people busy talking about impeachment now and get off of this other stuff. Does that make sense?
Four words. They're scared to death. They know everything. They know what Obama did. They know what Comey did. They know what Clapper, Brennan, and right down the whole list, and even some of them, they are scared to death. They see where Trump is going. They see where Barr is going. They see where everyone who is investigating this on the part of the Trump administration, they know they're going to be had. This impeachment effort is a ruse. It's a distraction. It's a deception to keep the American people from hearing the facts of what is coming out and what is about to come out. It's a cover up. They're trying to shield everybody from the truth. Everything that was going on during the Obama administration, you know, Hillary Clinton and her emails and Benghazi and all the other whatever number of scandals were. And, you know, they march out there all the time and say the Obama administration was a scandal-free administration. It was the worst of the worst. We've had some big scandals in our country, be it Whitewater and Watergate and Iran-Contra. They hold nothing to this. This past administration and to this Russia collusion, the FISA, everything involved in this is a monstrosity, and they're scared to death of it because it's gonna destroy the Democratic Party, and they're trying. This is their last stand. This is their stand of desperation that's going on because they know stuff is going to come out, and they've got to do whatever it takes to protect it. They don't even give a damn about Hillary anymore. She's done. And Hillary, as far as the Russiagate, other than, you know, paying for the dossier, is, you know, it's kind of minimal. Campaign funds are from a private, you know, that was such a joke, and they know it. I mean, seriously, that story was so stupid. You have to be a moron to believe it. If you're a listener out there and you believe it, believe the Russia collusion story, you're a moron. I'll say it. That's the fact. You know, Hillary was insignificant. She was a horrible candidate. They were propping her up. They were trying to do whatever to get her elected, mainly because if she didn't get elected, everything would be revealed, particularly with this guy, Donald Trump. I'm wary of if another one of the 16 other candidates got elected, would they have pressed like this? And understand, you know, Trump didn't come out and do anything at the very beginning. His job, he was elected to fix the country, and that's what he did. He didn't walk up and say, okay, tomorrow Hillary Clinton's going down, I'm going to go after Obama on this. He didn't do anything. He left it to first the then controlled Republican House to investigate all this. And then when they lost the House in 18, he knew that was going to happen. And he then hired William Barr, and Barr hired Durham. And this is what scares him. This was all planned. You know, we should probably do a show in the future on how Trump is using the powers he has been given under the Constitution. He doesn't need the House anymore. All he needs is the Senate and the judges. That's where his power as president lies. These guys are playing Mickey Mouse in the House now. Nadler and Schiff and Pelosi and the squad, they're out there making complete jackasses of themselves with all this. He knows that, and they're scared. So he's pressing. He's doing his job. He's out there. He's dealing, you know, on the world stage as president, and he's doing what he said he was going to do, build the wall and all the things. And he's letting the Justice Department do its job. And that's where we're at now. And that's what we're talking about. Who did what they did, because we need to remove them for good. And, you know, I don't like to use the word hope, but, you know, this is what we're all hoping for. The timing is critical, how and when this plays out. I know a lot of people are anxious and get impatient. When is somebody going to be indicted? When is, you know, why is it taking so long? Well, there's timing going on. They're making sure all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed. That's what the Attorney General is doing. It's what the special attorney, John Durham, is doing. They want to be correct in everything they do when they present all this. And, you know, I'm as anxious as anybody else. I want to see something happen, but I'm also sitting here and saying, okay, they know what they're doing, and this will all come. And so it'll be interesting. The next year will be probably the most interesting time going into the 2020 election. We're going to have the election ongoing. There's a lot of moving parts. You know, there's a famous picture of Trump playing chess on a five-level chessboard. Well, that's what he's dealing with, and that's what, it's certainly at this level of what Barr and Durham and the rest who are involved in this are doing.
Well, friends, you're listening there to the voice of Colonel Jim Warshak. And before we jump into our third part of this conversation, I want to have with you about the puppet master and Barack Obama that we're speaking about here. You sense the urgency in Colonel Warshak's voice there, and you sense, and as you have it is out there as well, you sense the frustration of his voice as well. As Americans, we're all frustrated as hell right now, clearly, and that's the other thing you're sensing with his voice. What comes to my mind I want to share with you personally at this point is, you know, he clarified some things, Jim did, in the last many moments there, that I had not heard him say before. Now, I have felt this for some time, and we're all sort of trying to be careful for what we say and how we say it. But I want to say to you, it really is an incredibly sad day of this union, I have to tell you. And he's right when he says there's nothing in our history that would potentially come anywhere close to this. And that is exactly accurate, people. We're talking about a historic developments. These are the kinds of developments that can bring a country down. The stakes could not be higher. So as I say that to you, there are no games being played here. I mean, and the stakes are tremendous for all. And then you have to begin to think, well, but come on, Malcolm, the Republic, I mean, America's going to be fine, right? The Republic's going to go on. You know, and you have to believe that in your heart, of course. And you also have to believe, well, does it come to a civil unrest? Does it come to a confrontation? Does it come to a civil war of some sort? What happens exactly, you know? I mean, how do you restore law and order is what we're talking about here, really. It sounds simple, I know, restore law and order. But really, that's the question you've got to ask yourself. How do we restore law and order?
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. It really is, it's an incredible moment for the United States of America. And I believe that in my heart of hearts, I believe that in my soul, that it's a moment of reckoning. It's a moment where we are going to be called to task, people. Colonel Warshak is back with us here talking about this. I think this is a major conversation, the puppet master. That's why I had him in his voice only, so we could hear him speak about these things in the sense and in the urgency of the moment of what you're hearing right now.
Okay, so what they've done was they've identified their terms of impeachment and put it in layman's terms. That's what this really is. It's put out by Gerald Nadler, who is the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. So he's been one of the prime drivers of going after 45 for impeachment, and they don't even understand what the definition of impeachment is.
Exactly.
Nor do they understand how impeachment works. You know, they're going to try to impeach him on the accusations, the lies that they put forward in this whole Russia collusion, which are it's a myth. They've created it. There's nothing there. You can't impeach a president or anybody from office, because all elected officials are subject to impeachment, for anything they did prior to coming to office. Nothing can be, that should have been all investigated prior to confirmation or election. You know, that's why we have election cycles. That's why we have confirmation hearings to appoint people that an elected official wants to appoint to a particular office. That's what that's all about. You know, so to go back and say, okay, we are going to impeach Trump because of the thing the made up story that happened in the hotel in Moscow, or his made up affair with Stormy Daniels, or his finance, none of that meets the real standard. And the other thing they know is that they can submit grounds for impeachment every day of the week times 10 to the U.S. Senate, but it's the U.S. Senate that's got to, vote on it and approve it, and that's never going to happen.
Which is why this is just a distraction, Jim. That's all
they're
trying to do.
It's a distraction. And you hit the nail on the head. They're going after the people out there who are just so diehard Democrat, and the mainstream media who are going to turn this into another news cycle drumbeat day in and day out, that the grounds for impeachment have been set by the U.S. House, and it's just going to be a lot of pabulum about it.
They know they can't officially get it done, but here's what they are trying to do. I think they're trying to impeach by public opinion. In other words, you just said something really key, and I'm so glad you said it, in regards to the fact that you can't go into somebody's record from 20, 30, 40 years ago. In other words, that's just not part of the impeachment process. You have to have a real reason. You know, they're throwing the impeachment word around like a frisbee, like it means nothing. It's a major altercation. foundation of this nation. It was never to be taken lightly. The framers never allowed you to just impeach somebody because you didn't like the color tie they wore or because you didn't like their politics. You just can't impeach on that basis, people. Haven't said that, Jim. So back to the distraction measure, but here's what they are trying to do. They're trying to, if they can scar or mar his record up to whatever degree you can, knowing that the Senate would not approve any of this, absolutely 100% right. But here's the thing. If you can do that, Jim, then you can potentially, and I put in quotes here, Jim, impeachment by public opinion.
Impeachment is based on high crimes and misdemeanors while in office. Mm-hmm. You have to show and prove that, and that's not there.
And what did he do?
That's the question. And you can't accuse somebody because you claim they're a racist, a homophobe, a whatever. You know, can you imagine driving down the street and the police pull you over and said, you broke the law? Well, what did I do? Well, you're a racist. Well, no, I'm not. What are you talking about?
You're a xenophobe.
You can't, or whatever. You know, what did, you know, how do you, well, I'm giving you a ticket anyway. Well, you're going to fight it, and you know you know this is what Trump at the national strategic level is up against. Just like you said, Malcolm, they're trying to go after him because they don't like the color of his tie or the color of his hair or whatever. They're using it's all a false narrative. They are trying to influence the American people. They're trying to. They know a lot of Democrats are supporting Trump. They know a lot of non-politically affiliated people, independents, are supporting Trump. They're trying to break his likability by a vast number of Americans, and they're going to do this through the court of public opinion. And as you said, that's why the media is playing such a huge role, and the media is exposing themselves for who they really are, the mainstream media, with some of the most lunatic kind of stories that are out there. They're making it up.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where they're at. And you know, this is why Trump tweets so much, because it's not going to get out there unless he puts it out there. And I get into arguments where people say, well, he's saying this when he's tweeting and everything. You know, Twitter is a capability. It's a tool. It's a medium. It's a new medium because of technology, and this president is taking advantage of it. It's like when television first came out, and I think it was Harry Truman did the first TV interview by a president or got out there. You know, same when radio came along. We all go to the newest medium that reaches the most people, and that's what he's doing with Twitter. And, you know,
it's a public forum.
It's a public forum, and it's working. If it didn't work, he wouldn't be using it.
Well, he's got to reach the masses. He knows he can't rely on media, so he knows that everybody is watching his Twitter feed. So you're right. The Twitter feed for him is sort of like the days when broadcast would report real accurate news, Jim. They no longer report real accurate news, you see, because it is a total propaganda campaign, and the media, they're so indoctrinated into this BS. In fact, that's going to be one of the other lead stories, Jim, that come out of this century and certainly come out of this crisis. The second lead story has got to be, after this is all exposed now, has got to be what happened to the Fourth Estate. That's got to be the second lead story after the top story of the demise of this political establishment that we're talking about. And the puppet master, Barack Obama. That's the second story, Jim. What happened to the Fourth? Because had the Fourth Estate, Jim, ever been honorable, ever done their job, what they were supposed to do, we could have cut some of this off at the pass, buddy. You see, they're guilty. You see?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
They're guilty.
And they know it. And they know it. And they are scared to death of 45 because they understand he gets what they're doing. And he is, you know, they like to call him, you know, he's a showman or whatever. No, he's strategically capable to go above and around them. And that's what scares them. You know, every single thing that is said negatively or in fun against Donald Trump is done for a reason, whether it's by his opposition, whether it's the Democrats, whether it's the fourth estate, because that's all they got. You know, it's I'll smear you, I'll criticize you, I'll say something, I'll make up a lie against you, I'll do anything to stop you, but they know he has the capability to go around them and over them and directly to the American people, whether the American people hear it or see it. You know, that's the next dimension. You know, this is something with some of your IT folks you should look at. Where what happens 30, 40, 50 years where you can directly send a tweet to my brain so that I make sure I hear it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're probably going in that direction, but this is how Trump is using it. And to get back to this whole issue of Puppet Master, they know he knows everything. You know, I go back to, and I mentioned it in the article, you know, he was given a heads up by Admiral Mike Rogers, who was the head of the NSA. And what you need to know about him, you have not heard anything about him. I know the man. I met with him back in the spring of 2016. Before all this happened. In fact, I had a meeting myself and another friend of mine, a military officer and former CIA guy who was running for office, and we met with him and Mike Flynn, and of course Mike Flynn is my old boss when I was at U.S. Central Command. We talked about that. They knew about it already back then. What the Democrats, this goes back to 2012, maybe earlier, where the Obama administration was using the NSA. That's how they were able to spy on and build the number up to 40,000 Americans. That all happened back then. I believe it probably occurred as early as 2010 under the various people who were in charge back then. Admiral Mike Rogers is the one who found out, and he stopped it. He says, you are not going to do that in my agency. And he pissed off a lot of people. And that's why they said, okay, we've got to come, because they were just doing it willy nilly. Yeah. You want to investigate, you know, whoever. Yeah. Turn the switch on and listen to what he's saying. That's what they were doing.
He did Trump a big favor, didn't he?
He absolutely did. He did America a big favor. And the man is a patriot. That's he is a true patriot.
What do you think happens to Flynn? I seen a report the other day, Jim, that said that Flynn is trying to reverse. I don't know if this is true or not, but that he was trying to reverse his guilty plea, that he's trying to reverse it and get the, what's the latest on him? Do you know?
That's being addressed right now by his lawyer, Sidney Powell. And there's been some activity this week. They're trying to bring forth some of the evidence that is the exculpatory evidence that was prevented from getting out under the Obama Justice Department and under the indictment that got him charged. They want to use that as part of his defense, and so they are through their legal team trying to get that information from the Justice Department. Of course, there's some counter stories in there saying the Justice Department lost it and this and that. Well, nothing's ever lost. I think that's more part of the propaganda, because they know when that comes out, he's acquitted. It'll be another example of how he was set up, and he was set up. But I want to get back to one other point on this with Rogers, because this is really critical. Because Rogers put up the roadblock to prevent them from using the NSA the way they were using it, that forced them to have to go use FISA applications to get warrants. And that's what they did. So they said, okay, well, now we got to come up with justifiable FISA applications to get a FISA warrant to go spy on Americans even more. So now, everything you have is BS. Mm-hmm. Well, we got to come up with something that will stand up to the requirements that the FISA court, you know, it's got to be truthful. It's like a police officer trying to get a warrant to go into a drug kingpin's house. You have to have the evidence to get in there. So what did they do? They made up the dossier And that was what was used to get the warrants. And the first one that they put forth didn't go through. The next four went through. And the, all. And you have to go out. This is where they were warrants that were garnered on false pretenses, on lies. Total abuse of a system once again. And the people who signed off on those warrants are the Comeys and, you know, the Brennans and the Clappers and the Attorney General at the time. Those people are the ones who, you know, are being really quiet now, because we're getting to that point where the next portion of the Attorney General's report is going to identify who signed off on these. Comey is one of them. Comey had to sign off on all of them, and you know that's going to be his undoing.
Well, you wonder, or are they going to spin it some other way, Jim? Because they constantly spin these reports. I mean, they constantly don't incriminate these people. I mean, right?
Well, then that's where ridiculous. This comes in with Durham. Durham right. is doing the behind the scenes. He is the guy who is going to validate the truth behind
you believe that
the FISA warrants. Yeah.
So he's cleanup. He plays cleanup.
he's cleanup, and he's the guy that says, "Look, here it is. This is true. This is what scared. This is why the Democrats are so scared. They're hysterical in what they're doing. They know this is coming.
That's why they're going down this road.
That's why they're going down this road. This is, like I said earlier, this is makes desperation sense. On their part.
Yeah. Well, like I said, they never go in reverse. They never, you know, these people don't figure that out. I mean, and they keep going forward.
Well, I think they're beyond going in reverse, you know.
Exactly.
You know, now I guarantee what happens, as in any case where you have this many people involved.
Exactly.
You know, just think of it in a crime where a bank robbery, big bank heist was, you know, people start pointing the finger at each other. Clapper's already doing that.
Right.
Even Brennan has kind of said, well, I was going off of the information I was given. Mm-hmm. They're all trying to back out of it. They're going to point the finger at each other. And eventually they're going to point the finger at Obama.
Do you think we have enough jail cells?
You know, if it's going to prevent me from going to jail or get a lesser sentence,
they typically do that.
Tell me what American is not going to, I shouldn't even say American, what person is not going to point the finger at their boss or their,
CYA.
You know, it's CYA. And, you know, this is what's going to come. This is what's going on now. This is what Durham is doing. And they know it. Mm-hmm. They know it. There's lots of interviews of people, you know, even, you know, like I said, Hillary Clinton, she's really on the cusp of something else. She, you know, their hope of her getting elected was so they could destroy all this evidence.
Of course.
If she got elected, you would have never heard about it. There would be no reason to go after Donald Trump. Donald Trump would have been a forgotten person by now. That's the last person they want anything brought up on. Mm-hmm. You know, they would all be, and then they would be going down the road to continuing Obama's third term. Wow. This is what caused all this. You know, just put up the Communist Manifesto. They're worse than that could possibly. It's a clown circus, what they're putting out there and what they're doing. And I think that's going to be their downfall. You know, I believe that's part of the strategic plan of Trump is, you know, we need to have a two-party system because that works relatively well. We can't have a democracy. We're not a democracy where you could have, you know, eight people elected and then you'd have to do a coalition government like we have in a lot of countries. That's why a republic, the way it was established, is what made America successful. And that's what we have to have. I believe Trump sees it that way. And he says, I've got to rebuild the Republican Party because they are less gone than the Democrats, but the Democrats are so far gone. Their whole party needs to, you know, go away and then come back. Maybe that will be, you know, I don't know if they can get there because of their ideology. It's just It's just insane. You know, the Republican Party didn't go to the extreme right. There's a lot of right people in the Republican Party, you know, strong conservatives. But the far left is insane. It's even beyond, none of these people could ever, you know, we call them leftists and socialists and communists. None of them could ever run the old Communist Party of the Soviet Union. None of them could ever run that. That was, that party was well organized and everything. Of course, it was bankrupt because of what Ronald Reagan did, but none of them could ever be the premier or the chairman of that party. None of them would, with the way that, with the stuff that they're saying and the way they act, none of them would be taken seriously in that arena. So, you know, I think the Democratic Party really needs to get a grip on itself. It might take them 20 or 30 years to come back as an old Democratic Party, you know, what we saw probably 100 years ago. I think they're that far gone.
Jim, do you think we're at a moment of truth in this nation?
This is our opportunity to show the truth. If Trump wasn't elected, we would no longer be what we are. We're at a moment of truth. I think this president knows it. And I had this discussion last night with one of our other America Out Loud writers, that Donald Trump is such a broad, vast, high-level strategic thinker. He's determined, I've got to fix America. I really need the U.S. House of Representatives to help me, but they're run by the Democrats, who are so far out of it that they're useless to me, and their whole existence now until 2020 is to do this impeachment thing we've been talking about. And so they're not doing the will of the American people. They're not doing their job in any way, shape, or form. There's a few Republicans there who are helping him, you know, the Freedom Caucus and a few others, but they're not doing their job. And he's realized, I don't need them. I've got the Senate and I've got the judges, and I'm up to 160 federal judges appointed. He will certainly have 200 by 2020, and he will flip the Ninth Circuit Court, which you want to see the Democrats go even further, you know, off the rails, because that's their go-to court for appeals. They will not be able to stop him. And if he is able to put another Supreme Court justice on, or at least nominate one between now and 2020, and I think he will, that's how he will govern the country.
That will send the left over the waterfalls if that happens. And there's a lot of speculation that could happen here. People, what a unbelievable conversation here. Just, wow, the puppet master, huh, Barack Obama. You're listening to the voice there of Colonel Jim Warshak. You know, this is a moment of truth. That's all I can tell you. It is a moment of truth for this nation. Something's going to have to happen here, people. And I started to think of those two scenarios as Jim was talking in the last many minutes there. Had I had more time, I wanted to play out with him two scenarios. What happens if people are put away behind bars in clean house? I mean, obviously, we'd have to build more jails at this point for how many are, going to be charged here accordingly, but, you know, whatever. And then what happens if we don't fix this? You know, I mean, what happens there? I mean, this is it's a moment of truth for this country, I think, very clearly. You almost can't believe this is happening. I mean, it's almost, how do I say to you, it's a surreal experience. It's like it really isn't happening. Do you feel that way as well out there? I mean, it's an out-of-body experience. Like, this really isn't going on. It's so crazy. And the stuff we're talking about is so out there that you're pretty well insane to even be thinking about it, and yet we're talking real life. Now, does that make any sense? I don't know. It's one for the ages. I tell you all the time, we are living in historical times. And we are also living in times where you need to get involved here. We're going to need everybody, all hands on deck, people. There's a big, tall order ahead here. And we're going to have to keep the flame burning as America marches forward here. It's time, friends, for all of us to get involved and get loud.